Hey everybody, Matt Siltala here alongside Dave Rohr and special guest Allison Stratton. Glad to have you back on the show, Allison.
Happy to be back.
So one of the things we just wanted to jump right into it. I know the last show that you, were a special guest. Yes, a special guest. On, we talked, one of the things that you had mentioned towards the end, and I just thought it would be awesome to maybe expand a little bit on it and give a little bit more time to it. But you talked about, we're just so, we're in that squirrel, I got to get what's next type, that's just how the environment is around us these days. And so you have so many businesses that want to do the next thing or what's next, or they want to be on a platform before they really even know what it's doing. And I really love how you said, let's figure out how to use what we have currently right before we start to jump into, the new shiny stuff. And so I just loved, kind of where you were going with that. Maybe you can expand a little bit on that.
Sure. I mean, we love technology. We love innovation. Our home and office is filled with every new toy and gadget, and we love new stuff. But, the problem with it and the danger with it, particularly if you're an entrepreneur or part of a smaller company, is that you only have so much time and you only have so many resources. And what tends to happen is that we can get very distracted by chasing after what's coming and what we want to do that's cool or what's next or new, and what suffers is what we're supposed to be doing now. And this becomes even more dangerous, I think, in the world we live in where, social media is such a prevalent part of how people learn about our businesses and people share stories all the time. And if, our customer service is lacking, those stories are going to be shared and reviews are going to be left. And this is what our company is going to be known as. And if we're doing that, if we're making those basic mistakes about what makes a business successful, good products, good service, then we're really doing ourselves a disservice by chasing after, kind of a new technology when we haven't even taken care of what we're supposed to be doing already. So I think it's just a really big danger to focus, and focus is such a kind of a lost art with so many distractions. And I think sometimes that new shiny object is just a huge business distraction.
So what do you do when new potential customer or customer, new client, whatever, comes to you and says, Allison, I've been seeing a lot of my competition on Snapchat and I really need to figure out the Snapchat. And, what can I do? Like, again, I'm just using Snapchat.
I think the first thing you need to do is really have a good conversation with them about, why it is they want to go down that road. So talk to them about it. Like, okay, so you want to go into Snapchat. First of all, make sure you know the platform well if you're going to be speaking about it to a client. So any research or anything that you need to do to make sure that when you sit down with them, you know what you're talking about, because they're coming to you as an expert. And even us, like even people who we spend, I mean, I just live online. I spend all my time reading about new things and new technologies. And there are many times something new comes up and I'm not sure about it. So if you're going to be the expert, you have to do the research. So do your research, sit down with them and really map it out. Like, okay, so you want to do this new platform. Why do you want to do it? Who are you hoping to reach? Do you understand the way things are shared on that platform? Like a good example would be, when Instagram first kind of like came on the scene, it's a very visual platform. So it doesn't necessarily translate if you don't have a visual product or something visual that you want to share with people. So things like that, which is pretty basic tenet of the platform, needs to be understood to make sure you have the right content to be shared on the right sites. And then I would also take a hard look at, are our customers already on the platform? Are they already sharing our content for us? How are they sharing that content? And then see if it makes sense for you to intervene. Sometimes with some products, you don't even need to be there as a brand. Like it can be creepy if a brand shows up in the middle of your conversation with your friend about, your new shoes. You don't necessarily need a brand to interject there. The marketing is being done on your behalf already. So I think that's kind of a thing. And then also you need to move a needle for your clients. So you want to think about what's measurable. And like one of the things we talk about is that seeming cool is that measurable? Like, how are you going to prove that that's successful? You need to think about looking for results that you can measure and prove that something is working. And seeming innovative is a really hard thing to measure.
I love that. It reminds me of the, I can't remember the exact quote, but my my popularity on one of the social medias doesn't pay my bills or whatnot. And so my 1,000 likes or, so anyway, speaking of things that do move the needle, we really do appreciate you being a guest on our podcast show. Our podcast is fairly new. And so we've started to see a lot of success with it, but it was one of those things that we didn't jump right into, but it's something that people have been doing for a while. And I'm starting to see more and more people think, I need to do a podcast. And so, maybe just share some thoughts on, podcasting in general. And just, I know that you guys have a podcast, and if there's anything, tell us where to find you and what it is. And, let's talk about that for a little while.
So we also came to podcasting late. We're about 7 years late to the podcasting party. We were by no means talk about not using an innovation. We certainly didn't see podcasting and run towards it. We already had established like a pretty strong base of followers in social media. And my partner Scott was already, speaking and we'd already written some books. And so the podcast for us came about because we had always researched topics for keynote talks that Scott gives or for books that we've written, was we were kind of always sending things back and forth, right? Like news stories or case studies or things that had happened to us. We were always sending these things back and forth and talking about them. And what would happen is that these conversations were what ended up being the books and the keynote talks. And so we're like, we should really be recording these conversations. And we're like, hey, I've heard there's a medium for that. So we were very late, but we started doing the podcast. We set about it a little bit differently than some people that I know. We didn't really like bootstrap it. We go to a studio that we rent once a month, and at each date we record 4 episodes. So that's how we work. So one episode, it's called The End Podcast. That's probably the way I should have started. The business show for the Fed Up. And we record 4 episodes once a month, and then they're released every week. We talk about news stories, business ideas. We chat back and forth about different things that are important to us and different things that we see in the world around us. Mostly a lot of consumer advocacy stuff and marketing and branding. And so that's how we do it. We actually record. So we record 4 episodes once a month, and then they're released, and we have somebody else who writes show notes for us and things like that. And, and that's how we work it. I know a lot of, like, we're recording this podcast right now, and I'm sitting in my lovely home office, which is fantastic. But for Scott and I, we found it was really hard to get them done if we weren't locked away somewhere once a month. So that's how we got started. Matt,
yeah, and
I can't move to Phoenix because, my wife doesn't like scorpions. So when are you moving to Chicago?
Fair enough.
Sorry,
yeah, it was really just for us. I mean, obviously we live together, Scott and I, so that's handy. Your wife probably wouldn't like that either. And we just sort of felt like we wouldn't get it done if we weren't in the studio. And Scott travels quite a lot because of his speaking. So for us, it's really like, and we look forward to it all month. Like all month, we just save up articles and save up news stories. And then we go into the studio, and it's always a really fun day. And yet doing it once a month keeps it current enough that, we're not talking about things that happened 6 months ago. We've had one emergency episode of the M podcast that we did film at home. It was when the gentleman was dragged off of the flight a few months ago. And we were just so irate about it. And we complain about airlines a lot. And so we had an emergency session of the M podcast that we filmed at home. But other than that, they've all been done in the studio.
No, that's great. I as long as it's getting done. And one of the things, the reason that we just started kicking it off is just because I've been saying for years, I need a podcast. And I loved hearing what you said, how you and Scott were just having conversations. You're like, we really need to be recording this because that's essentially, it's kind of neat. That's what happened with Dave and I. We are always talking about stuff. We're like, did you see this idiot article, or did you see this person or that, or, we would always go back and forth, and we're like, we really need to be recording this because if a normal person, mom and pop or whatever, just even a B2B, just if they heard this kind of stuff, they would probably learn from it. They would probably get something from it. And so, that's why we just started doing it, and we said, "Hey, we'll perfect it as we go. We'll start to get a little bit better." But I love hearing those stories.
I would say too, from a content point of view, like from a marketing point of view, like we use the content so that what ended up happening is we started the podcast. We're actually celebrating our 200th episode the next time we film.
Oh, awesome.
So congrats. We've been doing it for a while. And what's happened is that now, like when I went to write our last book, I had all of this content over like, you know, a year or so that we had saved and recorded. And it was fantastic for content and repurposing content and having all this research documented. And so purely as a, in terms of marketing, it's a wonderful tool to be able to record yourself and have these conversations and be able to go back and say, didn't I talk about that? Like, I really want to put something together for my client about a certain topic. And didn't we talk about that? And to be able to go back and see it, it's just helpful and awesome. So that's a kind of nice bonus from the podcast.
Oh, yeah. We find ourselves doing that all the time.
Yeah, and we basically didn't listen to any of the rules of podcasting. Like we've done very long recordings of the podcast. They're usually about 30 minutes. But our first ever podcast, which Scott loves to tell this story, our first ever podcast that we put out, the first comment that we ever got when we put out our first podcast was some person who said, I haven't listened to the podcast yet, but 52 minutes. And it was a comment that they thought it was so terrible that we'd recorded for so long and then added in that they hadn't recorded it. They hadn't listened to it yet. So they were furious that it was 52 minutes long, even though they didn't know if they liked it or not. We don't listen to time wise. We have mostly about 30 minutes, but we've done longer. We also have two hosts. And we both talk quite a lot, as you're seeing now. So there's that. We don't have a lot of guests. I think we've had 3 or 4 guests on in total in 200 episodes. So we don't have a lot of guests. We just kind of did our own thing. And it really works for us. We really enjoy it. And
I don't know how you could call it the Unpodcast if, you know, you follow all the rules.
I guess so. It's really our brand, isn't it? Not following the rules.
You're making me want to follow less rules. I like it.
Well, yeah, see, I'm getting something. Don't really follow too. Rules because I mean, a lot of people seem to be 1 hour long. It's guest-driven format, kind of like it's one person and they're always interviewing someone.
That reminded me. Why don't you tell the story of we were recently, Allison, both Dave and I were recently speaking at a conference in Bend, Oregon, and we had someone talk to us about their podcast and some of the difficulties that they found and that they loved ours because, you know, we don't do a lot of guests either. We're happy that you're like, I'm really stoked that you wanted to be on the show. So I appreciate you being on it, but it was just interesting to hear, you know, someone else's point of view. Why don't you share that story, Dave?
We just had someone ping us the other day and Matt and I actually have a list of like 40 or 50 different ideas with like all sorts of names and stuff. And then sadly, it'll probably take us like 2 to 3 years to get through them all because, yeah, everyone seems to have a different format. And I think, Allison, for you and Scott, it makes sense because, you know, you guys might know each other just a little bit and probably can communicate on a daily basis from time to time. So, you know, you guys already have that. Matt and I we've been kind of communicating and talking because we've been on the same session for PubCon up until this year. I think we did 5 times now over the last 4 years. And so throughout the year, we would just see each other and we would just like, as the year would go on, we would throw back and forth ideas and themes and different topics. And like all of these other kind of conversations would happen. And so the story that Matt was just kind of referring to is that we were just talking to someone and they were saying that they'd listened to it and they really liked it. And that they were going to get started again, but they've had this problem where theirs is guest driven and they always have guests on to supplement the talking and that sometimes you get along really well and other times they don't. And when you're trying to fill an hour of space and people are kind of giving you yes, no answers, how are you doing? Fine. Yeah.
To make it really how are you awkward. Doing?
Fine.
Yeah.
Really awkward. So what'd you do today? Nothing.
I think the danger there is, and we kind of, you know, Scott and I, this, sometimes people don't like our answer to this, but the danger there is that if they're trying to get business out of the podcast, like let's say they have a consulting firm or they own a company and the idea to have the podcast is because they want to use it as a marketing tool, that if a potential client comes and listens to that and is like, oh my gosh, like this is the worst thing I've ever listened to, that can hurt their brand. So it depends on why you want to do it, right? Like if you want to entertain and you want to maybe get a sponsor and have it be entertaining and make money that way, and it doesn't necessarily have to do with getting clients into your business, then, you know, do what you want. And if it's boring and someone listens, they just won't come back. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that is a problem. And a lot of the times we like to tell people like, oh, just try it and it'll get back, you know, but I think when we're really thinking about growing our businesses, we need to make sure that we're keeping whatever content we put out, whether it's a podcast or a book or, you know, whatever we're doing, that it be up to the standard of what we're trying to achieve for our business. Like that's why we're doing it, right? Most of the time. So I think it's important. And I can't imagine, like Scott and I love talking to each other. We could talk forever and that's why it works. Cause it would be mind-numbingly boring to like, I can imagine having a bad guest who can't answer a question or, you know, participate. But I would make sure that you're thinking about like, you're not going to get that person back, that listener. There's too many choices, right? There's like a million podcasts you could be listening to, and that's just podcasts. Never mind all the other things we could be doing. So I just caution people to make sure that what they're putting out there is something that they like. It doesn't need to be perfect, but it does need to be good enough for your clients, I think.
I love that. And it also makes me feel good about what we try to do here, because one of the things when Dave and I first started, you know, deciding we wanted to do this together, our conversation to each other wasn't, hey, I hope that I get a bunch of new clients or, you know, from this, let's, you know, what our goal was is, hey, we think that this could help our brands. This could help what we do, obviously, but we wanted to put some out there that we thought would just be awesome for people that needed this information, because we love educating people. We love, you know, after we're talking, you know, we get done talking at a session and people come up and like, that was great. Like, yeah. I'm going to be able to take this back and really help the team. We wanted to kind of expand on that. And so if we get anything from it, or if we get people linking to us, or we get awesome guests on it, like yourself, and you tweeted out, like that kind of stuff is all gravy. It's bonus to us, but
it's good to hear. I like that. Our first couple episodes didn't suck. That was my goal out of the game.
I hate when people like start hear about the podcast, because Scott will mention it at a keynote, and Scott has like tons of experience, right? He's super extroverted. He loves being on camera. He had spoken into microphones a million times, right? And we sat down 200 episodes ago and recorded the first one. And I had never done any of that kind of stuff. I'd done a little bit of media stuff with my own business before, but it was very limited. Like I'd never been in a studio with headphones on and a mic and the whole thing. And, you know, here I am sitting across from him and he's like a pro, like a hardcore pro. And the improvement that I hate watching myself, the improvement that I see in myself over the 200 episodes is incredible, right? Like Scott's always been good at this and I've gotten better at it. And so I hate when people go back to the beginning. I'm like, don't watch from the beginning. Like if you're going to find out about our podcast, like go to like, I don't know, go like 50 episodes ago and start there. Like please don't go 200 episodes and start at the beginning, because I hate it. It was not good.
That's funny. I've often told him, I want to give people their money back for the first time that they ever heard me speak at a conference.
The free money.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm glad that you mentioned your husband liking being in front of the film, and because one of the things I was going to mention, we talked about it, was I think I took what I think is one of the best pictures of your husband ever. I just captured his pure, just like, I don't know
the picture you're talking about.
Do you want to call it rage, or do you want to call it like, what would you call it?
Well, we call it passion.
Passion. There you go.
But rage, it's not rage in that he's not angry about the people, but he's certainly passionate about people. He's a really strong consumer advocate. I think that's where Scott's heart is. And when he feels like something's being done incorrectly, he is very passionate about it. So yeah, you got him in full unmarketing, you know, passion mode on stage for sure. He does yell quite a bit.
And we're gonna, just so all our listeners know, we're gonna have that you know, we're gonna share that image and on the podcast post, I guess, if you will. So
He is the sweetest person in real life, but on stage he gets very, you know, energetic.
Well, I love, you know, we had to get our pictures taken whenever he had his beard a little bit longer because I have a big old beard. And so, do you love beards?
Do I love beards?
Do you love his beard?
I love Scott's beard very much.
Yes. Okay, good. Just making sure. Well, Allison, I appreciate you, you know, again, being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. So Unpodcast is the podcast that they can find you and Scott.
Yeah, iTunes, anywhere you listen to podcasts.
And then one more, you guys also have a book coming out, and go ahead and share
it's
that.
It's called Unbranding, 100 Branding Lessons for the Age of Disruption, and it is our fifth book. And it's just 100 brand stories, all fun things that you can read about and learn from. Small brands, big brands, entrepreneurs, all different kinds of sizes of companies and how they're, you know, succeeding in a world of change and fast-paced change. And I think you guys will like it.
Love it. Awesome. Well, again, I appreciate you being on the show. Looking forward to any feedback any of our listeners have for Allison and Dave. I am Matt Siltala, and we're signing off, and look forward to hearing from you guys. We'll talk to you on the next one. Bye.